O God, you made us in your image. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Bring down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, we have noted several times that of the four canonical Gospels, Luke is the one most concerned with women, the outcast and the marginalized. Luke is also the Gospel which most frequently features food and meals. Theologian and New Testament historian Robert Karras has noted that in Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. In keeping with these observations, it is no surprise that our reading this morning occurs at a meal. It seems that Jesus has been invited to the house of a leader of the Pharisees for a Sabbath meal. And we are told they were watching him closely. As presented in the lectionary this morning, Jesus then notes how the guests chose their seating and delivers a parable. But six verses are omitted, in which, as a parallel to the reading last week and the healing of the stooped woman, Jesus heals a man with dropsy, again, on the Sabbath. Dropsy is an old term for edema, which is basically fluid retention and swelling of the extremities. There are several causes for this, most of them not good. This is also the third time Jesus has healed someone on the Sabbath in Luke, but for the first time, not in the synagogue. Jesus addresses the Pharisees directly and bluntly asks them, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? They are unable to answer him. Our reading picks up again as Jesus then delivers a parable. Well, more of an exhortation, which seems to be all about place cards and table manners. One could almost wonder, what would Martha Stewart do? But really, this parable is all about humility and hospitality. In order to better appreciate what is going on, we need to explore what was involved in meals such as these in the time of Jesus. These were not small, intimate dinner parties held in a secluded dining room. Rather, these were large public social ceremonies, carefully arranged and choreographed. Where one sat, who one sat with, and what one was served all worked to determine one's social status and standing among the guests. Villagers and common folk would gather outside to watch the goings-on, and those lucky enough to be inside watched everything and everyone closely. I'm thinking it was not too dissimilar to the celebrity red carpets and velvet-roped entrances to clubs we see today. I lived in Miami Beach for a few years and would often see the entrances of clubs guarded by huge bouncers standing behind velvet ropes and admitting only those celebrity enough or pretty enough or well-dressed enough to deserve entrance. The rest were relegated to the sidewalk crowd of wannabes, and we could all read about them on the social page in the morning newspaper. This was the kind of dinner to which Jesus was invited. Given his reputation, he may even have been one of the more honored guests. But it is certainly not like Jesus to sit patiently and be wined and dined. No, rather Jesus, noting that he was being closely watched, immediately confronts his host and heals a man on the Sabbath right in front of him. He then tells a parable that exposes all the guests for the social maneuvering and conniving in which they are all engaged. Do not overreach, Jesus tells us, that you may not be embarrassed, but instead be humble, that you may be honored in the sight of all. The axis here appears to be honor and shame. Honor is not acquired by grabbing it or demanding it, but it must be given freely by others. Jesus then also has a few choice words for his host, telling him not to invite friends or relatives or rich neighbors to their next meal with expectations of being repaid, but to invite those who are unable to ever repay him. The poor, the lame, the blind. In this way, he tells them they will receive blessing. Of course, only God can bestow blessing. We begin to see now what Jesus is really talking about here. As with all his parables, we are given insight into the kingdom of God, and we hear a familiar gospel theme. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted, he tells the dinner guests. Again, we are given examples of the reversals that will be brought about in the kingdom of God. The first will be last, and the last will be first. The outcast and marginalized in this world will be welcomed as equal brothers and sisters in the kingdom. The lame, the blind, the disabled, who are barred from social or religious standing, will be as exalted as the famous, the wealthy, and the powerful. In this simple parable, we see that it is really not about place cards and table manners, but about challenging the entire class and social structures of both his time and ours. It is a call to respect the dignity and worth of every human being. It is to remind us of what is truly important and eternal, and of whose honor and blessing we should really seek. The world in which Jesus lived was a world that was strictly stratified. A person was usually born into the position one would keep all one's life. This, of course, applied only to the men. A woman's position was generally less than socially or politically significant. Children didn't even count until they came of age. Jesus challenged those he taught to break free from the strictures of social construct and convention, and attempted to give us all a glimpse of the inclusive glory of the kingdom of God. It is a message that remains both vital and disturbing even today. We like to think we have come a long way since ancient times. But then again, maybe not so much. The challenge Jesus gives us is to examine the barriers that remain, those we recognize, and more importantly, those of which we are not yet fully aware. We are challenged to face them and explore them, not with the worldly perceptions of race and class and exclusion, but with the eternal perceptions of the glory and inclusion of the kingdom of God.